Hey guys, what's this? Grapefruit. So I'm having a bit of fun for a few minutes. I was walking around Hornsby Westfield this morning and I had a few... Isn't the padding there? Excuse, we're just getting ourselves technically set up. But I had a few things to do and I ended up in Uniqlo. I thought I'll just have a look in the T-shirts. Is it going to work? Yeah. Oh, good. Thank you. So, I'm going to try and see if this works. Will it work from that distance? There we go. If you look over there, Eve's shoes are tapping a little bit nervously for this moment. I got inspired because today, tonight, I'm talking on a bit of an unusual theme. There's a whole rich and kind of powerful theme that runs through Scripture about us and who we are and who we're called to be and about being fruitful and multiplying, right? So tonight's about that idea of how God said to humanity when creation first kicked off, be fruitful and multiply. So that's been sort of rolling around in my head for a number of days. And then, of course, I came across this T-shirt that talked about grapefruit. And so this is, I'm on a little bit of a creative tangent. So if you can just hang with me. And if you get, if you lose me, I'll give you a couple of minutes and you can put your hand up in a minute and say, David, I've got no idea where you are, but where you've gone. But let's just start by praying. I'm going to ask God to speak to us. So Father, thank you. It's what a privilege. What a privilege to be alive today. What a privilege to be able to wake up in this country and... to wake up in, I think for most of us in the room, all of us, God, with food, with shelter, with opportunity, with friends, with a certain amount of time to do this thing called a weekend. And so, God, I want to ask for a blessing now on every person in the room. I'm going to ask you just to do something supernatural. I'm going to ask you to do something that would... convey a sense to everybody in the room how valuable they are to you, God, how special and how loved everybody in the room is. And for things that we know exist, problems and concerns and heartaches and pain and things that we're just longing for there to be solutions for, I just pray tonight in the way that only you can do, Jesus, by your Spirit, that you would bring about a sense of hope and of a sense of some inner strength. And as we hang out over food a bit later, we just again just keep on seeking your presence to help us to be a body together. Help us to actually represent who you are, Jesus. We ask that, and we say thank you, Amen. So I'm going to start with a verse. It's in the book of Galatians, and this is the Apostle Paul. And this is what Paul says he is about. Galatians 4 verse 19. I don't have a screen for it, but this is what Paul says. He says, I labor. So we're in language for a little bit that is to do with birthing and childbirth and fertility and the kind of notion of and look, I'm obviously a bloke and I haven't done this thing called labor. It's hats off to every mum in the room because it's a big thing. But Paul says, speaking as like a spiritual father, he says, my little children for whom I labor in birth until Christ is formed in you, until Christ is formed in you. So if tonight you're looking for kind of one big point for why would it be that we... worship God. Why would it be that we actually spend time in any space like this, a church space, spend time reading the Bible, spend time with praying for various people, whatever that might be? What is the point? I think Paul describes it very well. one kind of bullet point reason to be in the room tonight, that Jesus would be formed in you. That's the thing, that Jesus would be formed in you. If you're looking for, if you're kind of new around Christianity or new around the idea of faith, you might ask, what is the point? And there's absolutely many good things we can do, many good things we can sort of long to change. But the kind of catalyst thing that this writer Paul is about is that Christ would be formed in you. So I'm going to jump into this word, if we can get this mouse working. Actually, not sure if it's going to, Richard. I'm a bit stuck. Can I ask you to come and help? I was hoping I could change screens this way. Are those pink shoes bobbing up and down? No, we're okay. But I'm going to talk about the word fertility. I've kind of thought about what would be a word to describe this big point for me tonight. The thing is, God said, and he's put inside of all of us, what is actually a blessing to be fruitful and multiply. This, in the book of Genesis, sorry guys, we can do without the screen if we have to. Six times in Genesis, God says to people, be fruitful and multiply. What does it mean to be fruitful and multiply? That's where we're going for a few minutes tonight. And I've had, you know, sort of various thoughts for how I could describe multiplication. I was a terrible math student. Shivers. I really did not do well at maths. The good news is I don't need to understand multiplication or maths to actually multiply. I'm pretty relieved about that. And I know that intuitively, because God said in the book of Genesis, be fruitful and multiply, he's actually put inside of you, did you know this? He's actually put a multiplicative essence inside of you, such that you can multiply without even thinking about it. So to multiply, we're going to talk about that for a few minutes. It's the ability to actually create and multiply. So why the grapefruit? Beautiful. Good man. Thanks, Richard. Why the grapefruit? The thing is, if you want to multiply a grapefruit, you have to sow a grapefruit seed, isn't that right? And there's no point in sowing an apple seed to try to get a grapefruit. It doesn't work that way. And I love this word that is like the absolute. I want you to say, if you feel like talking out loud with me right now, like, I'm absolutely a multiplier. I'm absolutely a multiplier. I'm absolutely a multiplier. Excuse me, Sal, what's up? Okay, well that's a bit too technical for me. But thank you. You absolutely can graft, which actually does play into the big point about being grafted into Jesus, right? Into the vine. So God has said in his word really clearly, be fruitful and multiply. It actually is two things. It is a command, and it also conveys capacity, because he has blessed us with the ability to be fruitful and multiply. I'm asking you a question as we, for a few minutes, talk about this. What is it that you would look at and think, this is what I'm multiplying? What would you consider you are multiplying? To ask differently, how are you expressing your God-given capacity to be fertile? Now, obviously, fertility is a metaphor, and it is a reality for natural birth, but we're talking about both natural birth and birthing and reproducing other things. I have this suggestion, this proposal to you, that all of us are reproducing something tonight. All of us are being fertile with something. All of us, regardless of whether you have children or not, some of you do, some of you don't, because we have been blessed with the capacity to reproduce, we actually are reproducing something now. The question is, what is it that you are reproducing? I wonder what you think. Paul said, I desire that Christ would be reproduced in you. So for Paul, in that verse we read, then that was his thing. If for example, you have watched, you know, the television shows where there's the entrepreneur and there's that, I forget what they're called, but that, you know, that situation where people are mentoring businesses, and then you are being fertile and reproducing a business. You might be, if you are a footy coach and it's the Matildas, then you may well be reproducing good sports people. The question I have, the proposal I have is, you are probably reproducing something, but the thing that I wonder about a lot in my life is, how fruitful am I really being? And will this be fruit that lasts? So there's a problem for me getting this mouse to work, actually. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Richard, I've lost my... Okay. Well, the problem is I don't have a actual cheat sheet for myself to talk from. I'm trying to move back. Can you go to the problem for the? Thank you. So, the problem for the patriarchs. Let's talk about this for a minute or two. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It's really unusual for me that each of them were told to be fruitful and multiply, but they all married barren women. Isn't that a thing? they were all actually commissioned. And by the way, when God said in Genesis, be fruitful and multiply, quite a few people think that that is the same intent as when Jesus said on the mountain to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It is actually a commission. When God has said to us all, be fruitful and multiply, he's actually commissioning us to be fruitful. He said the same thing to Abraham. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And then in the next breath, basically Abraham realizes he's married somebody who is barren. So here's a problem to wrestle with in our world. Sometimes the things that we desire to be fruitful in, we don't experience necessarily multiplication without some kind of a test. Who likes getting tested? It's a thing. Abraham married somebody who was barren, so did Jacob, so did Isaac. Each of their wives were barren. I want to suggest to you tonight that there is a very profound issue to work with if we are desiring multiplication but we think this isn't working. Sometimes the problem can be that we've been promised something but it hasn't come to pass. It doesn't mean that we are necessarily not going to see that come about. Abraham did have a child. Abraham also tried his own route, right? and he went via, and he gave birth, his wife, his Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. So barrenness is nonetheless a thing to deal with. So here we go. Sorry guys, there we go. It is for me a question of sower beware. What does this mean? I think that I have to be careful, because if I am a fearful person, I will likely reproduce fear. It's a real challenge being a parent. Does anybody ever feel this, where you realise the things that I struggle with that I am not actually thinking I've actually told my kids? I notice that I am reproducing myself in them. Why? Because God has said, be fruitful and multiply, and I have a capacity to reproduce, and I don't always reproduce the things that I like. There's a question for me of sower beware, but as well as that, I think it's sower believe. I'm talking on this idea that you carry seeds in you, and you can and we're sowing all the time. I was very struck a few years ago when somebody said to me, David, Australians worship the god of sport, and I hadn't really thought of that quite as clearly as, and I thought, yeah, there's some truth in that. Some people do worship sport, and therefore people who love sport, they're always talking about sport, they're basically sowing sport, and they'll multiply around them others that love sport, and they'll hang out with people who love sport, and that's the way that sowing works. But I want to encourage anybody in the room tonight who is believing for God to produce fruit from seeds that you have sown in faith and they have not yet come to pass. How many of you have people that you long for change in, people that you long to come to know Jesus, family, right, children. In various ways, I think we all do. I want to encourage us tonight as sowers that you are still fertile, even if it looks like you're barren. keep sowing and stay in faith. Why is that? Because the seed actually carries life. When God said in Genesis, let there be light, notice he never actually, at a later stage in the story, said, okay, that's enough light. Light, you can stop now. what is the point? There is still light emanating now from when God first released light. When he said and released his son Jesus into the world, the living word, the seed of Jesus carries life. You can never exterminate that life. And so some of you tonight might have sown seeds in faith of encouragement, sharing your testimonies, talking about Jesus, talking like John was talking about to his CEO, Muslim man. Those seeds will bear fruit because they carry life. So sower, keep believing. Sower, I'm talking to all of us, be bountiful. Don't sow a mingy seed. keep sowing. Don't withhold your seed. If you want to come across a story that is really crazily confronting, read the story of Onan, the son of Judah, in the Old Testament. It is the wildest story. Onan has a brother who is so evil, the Bible says God killed him. That's pretty graphic. I think there's this point that God actually is, because everybody carries a capacity to sow and to reap, if you sow unrighteousness, then you will actually reap unrighteousness. This man was so evil. God, I don't think God could bear for him to continue to live on the earth. I don't understand why God did this, but it says in the Bible God killed him. Onan had a younger brother, and the same thing happened. He was so evil, the Bible says God killed him. That's two brothers out of three that God killed. I mean, it's in the Bible. I can't explain, but it's there. So then because one brother dies, the father, Judah, says to Onan, who's still alive, I want you to impregnate your the widow, the sister-in-law. The Bible says Onan refused to do that. The Bible says he lay with her, but he emitted his seed on the ground. Onan knew the seed carries life. Onan knew that God blessed him with fertility, but he refused to be fertile. He did not sow. It's a horrible story. It goes really badly. God actually brings good out of it eventually, because out of eventually a child that is born to this person that Onan would not lie with, the Jesus seed comes through. It's actually the generation that births Jesus comes out of that story. So what is the point? Don't be an Onan. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. Don't withhold. Sow generously. The Bible encourages us all the way through to sow bountifully. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. How do you sow? How do we sow as human beings? We sow with acts of love, acts of kindness. We sow by being willing to follow God when we get a little nudge voice. Hey, stop. Talk to that person. Stop. Ring that person. Stop. Be generous. Give. Keep on sowing. Be bountiful. Sower, be bountiful. Sower, I encourage us all. The Bible is so clear in John, the book of John. Some of you might know this teaching of Jesus where he just says, abide. Thanks, Sally. This is kind of plays into the thought of being grafted. He talks about we are actually connected to the vine. And that's why we sang that song. I chose it earlier about abiding. Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. What does that tell me? Jesus and the Father are very intentional in watching our fruit. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. God really cares about our fruit. You are already clean because of the seed which I have spoken to you. And then here it is in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So here's this word abide. It's what does it mean to abide? I love how one version puts it. It says, be entwined with me. Be entwined with me. Like be so enmeshed with Jesus that we are so, it's hard to separate him from us. What it means to walk with Jesus. I was talking to a mentor yesterday who is a man in his 80s, and he said to me, David, I find myself more and more when I'm with people, I listen to God and I pray. And he said, and sometimes I'm not even, people wouldn't be aware, but he said, I'm actually asking Jesus to show me how I can change when I'm in a conversation. And he said, and I'm actually listening to Jesus. Sometimes I'm actually confessing, you know what, that just wasn't right. My heart wasn't right there. And he said, I don't need to tell people necessarily what I'm saying, what I'm confessing or asking God to change in me. But he said, I walk with Jesus. Now he actually said to me, he was surprised how few people use the language today of walking with Jesus. I don't know, is that old school to use that language? Maybe there's another way to say it, but I think it does convey for me what abiding means. It means to be so close. How does our fruit come? Tonight, if you want to bear good fruit, rather than average fruit or rather than even fruit that isn't good, how does that happen? It happens through intimacy with Jesus. That's what Gordon, I've just said his name, said to me yesterday. He said, David, I just want to be more intimate with Jesus. I want to be connected to him. I want to know his heart. So I love that. I think, sower tonight, abide. It's an invitation. You know, there's going to come a time when the things that we think are our fruit will be tested by fire. The Bible teaches this. It's kind of confronting. And Jesus says, the Bible says, I should say, and it's in the Apostle Paul's teachings, that it's like the blowtorch goes to our fruit. And some of that fruit will be revealed to be wood, hay, and stubble. That's what the Bible says. And that fruit, that stuff that we think we've done that is worthwhile and good and, you know, and sort of stands as a testimony for our power or whatever it is going to be exterminated. The stuff that's lasting, the fruit that will actually go into eternity, is described as gold and silver and bronze. And there's going to be that time. The only fruit that survives is the fruit that comes out of abiding. That challenges me. Eve and I, last week, we had a few days off and we sort of came back with the conclusion we need more time to abide. We need more time in God's word. We need more time to pray. We just need to shift how we do things because we're so aware we can do things. Remember in the song we sang, Abiding? There's no striving. Was that the line? Hey, I'm so the one who in different times of my life, I just kind of, in a way, love doing things. I love pushing into things. I love, you know, challenges and going after things. But if it's not out of abiding and it's striving, it's wood, hay and stubble and it won't last. So in conclusion, and my mouse isn't going to work, but Paul teaches this thing. He says, you know what, some people sow, some people water, but he said it's God that gives the increase. It's God that does the kind of absolutely fruitful thing comes from God. Tonight I encourage us, we're on the earth for a purpose. We're actually here to, and that's why I love these stories. Isn't that so cool? We're all missionaries in different ways, aren't we? You don't have to be like my auntie was many years ago. She went to India and she was with a mission organisation and she did great things. I'm not taking away from her. But the point is we all get to be missionaries, to carry Jesus, to be fruitful, to just sow wherever we are. And tonight is really about that. It's about helping to just frame up, how can you be fruitful? How can you be making some kind of an impact? We get to be the church, not just in this room, but as we go and where we go, whether that's at school or work or, you know, at home or on a trip, walking in the Amazon, pretty cool way to spend turning 60, hey? Can anybody outgun that story? But tonight, that is, I believe, what is the challenge and the opportunity to think about. Thank you, God. You've blessed me. I am a multiplier. Regardless, it's actually there. How will I multiply? Well, God wants me to reproduce Jesus in me and in others. And how can that happen? It happens through abiding, through being intertwined. So that's about it from me. I'm going to pray and hand back to Evie. And I have no idea what time it is. How are we going? Perfect. So I'd love to chat over food if you'd like to, or just to kind of hear feedback. But what a great thing. We've been blessed to multiply, and we're all fertile. So, Lord, I thank you tonight. Thank you for trusting us to as to what we do with our time, and trusting us for how we focus, for what it is that we go after in life. Tonight, I just pray that something that I've shared would be provide some kind of direction or opportunity at least to stop and think and reflect. And over everybody in the room, I thank you for just speak in faith, an abundant harvest, God, for that which we do in your name, Jesus. No matter what that would look like, whether it is helping somebody that we just happen to stumble across in the shops, or whether it's being available to hang out for extra time with friendships, or just be willing to stop and linger, whether it is literally to share our faith and to talk about you, Jesus, no matter what it is, we want to do that as abiders. So thank you, God. I just want to release a big blessing over everybody, and I say thank you. You're with us, and I thank you for the stories that will come as together we are the great fruit people who just believe, Lord, that you are helping us to be fruitful in Jesus' name. Amen.